Moolala is brought to you by the nonprofit credit counseling agency Credit Canada. The Canadian government implemented something called the underused housing tax. It's an annual tax on the ownership of vacant or underused housing in Canada. Usually it is focused on non-citizen or non-permanent resident owners, but that is not always the case. We're going to talk more about this tax and how it works with Jason Heath. He is a fee-only, advice-only certified financial planner at Objective Financial Partners. Hello there.
Hey, Bruce. Thanks for having me.
We talk a ton about housing. I mean, we talk about it around the dinner table, at the park. We talk about it on this show. And there have been many efforts to try and address the multifaceted issue that this is. One of them is taxation. Mm-hmm. This is something from the federal government. Tell us what the underused housing tax is.
Yes. So the underused housing tax was implemented as part of the 2021 federal budget, actually, but it came into effect for the 2022 tax year. And I find it sort of went under the radar because when the government talked about who it applies to, generally speaking, it's meant for, as you alluded to, non-resident, non-citizen Canadians. So people in other countries who might, you know, buy real estate, park money in Canadian real estate. And it's a 1% tax that is payable every year on the value of that real estate. But there are actually quite a few Canadian residents, Canadian citizens who this tax may apply to that don't know it.
How does the tax work? Like, how do they determine if it is vacant or underused? Are they putting a camera outside your house and seeing if anybody's going in and out? Like, if you have a kegger once a quarter, are you fine?
It's not quite so much oversight, and part of it obviously is on the honor system, I guess, so to speak, with steep penalties for non-compliance. So not quite as much oversight as that, but again, I think with a lot of the Canadians that probably overlooked this when they even heard about it in the first place, they may not know that there could be penalties and there may be a need to file an underused housing tax return in order to claim an exemption.
Oh, wow. We're going to talk about that. So 1% on $1 million house, if I'm doing the math right, is 10 grand.
Per year. Yes.
Per year. That is not an insignificant sum.
No.
Put that in the context of the penalty. So, if you don't do it for 5 years, you will save 50 grand, but you are exposed to how much in terms of a penalty?
Yeah. So beyond the interest on the tax that could be payable, there's penalties for non-compliance. And those penalties are $5,000 for an individual per property per year and $10,000 for a non-individual. And the non-individual component actually could end up applying to a number of different Canadians. So pretty steep amounts that are payable. And this actually is on top of some cities have vacant housing taxes, for example. This is a federal underused housing tax that applies.
Yeah. And those are the ones I'm more familiar with because for whatever reason, you hear about them more.
Mm-hmm.
Why was this designed to focus on non-citizens and non-residents? I mean, shouldn't it be agnostic to who owns the property?
Yeah, you would think, right? I think that part of it was in response to concerns about foreign money having an influence on the Canadian housing market. And I guess it's a lot easier to levy a tax to people who don't vote in Canada, for example. That might be part of it. But again, you know, Canadians are generally exempt, Canadian citizens, Canadian residents, but there are some circumstances where they may need to file.
Which is what we want to get to now. What are the circumstances in which Canadian residents need to file?
So a real easy one is if somebody has a private corporation that owns real estate, residential real estate specifically. So somebody has a corporation that owns a condo, owns a house, and they rent it out. That corporation has a requirement to file an underused housing tax return. If the corporation's owned by a Canadian, there's no tax payable. They don't have to worry about this 1%. but they do need to file in order to claim an exemption. And if a corporation forgets to file, isn't aware they need to file, there could be a $10,000 penalty per property for that corporation. Will the government actually levy the penalty to innocent Canadians who were unaware? You know, remains to be seen, but that's a big number to make a mistake on.
How complex a filing is this? And does it go alongside the current cadence on tax? Like, is it just another page you can add to your filing?
And unfortunately, it's not part of the regular tax filing that you would do in April. So there is an extra underused housing tax return where you need to provide a bunch of information specifically about the property. A corporation, like we were just talking about, may need to file for a special identification number in order to submit the tax return in order to claim the exemption and avoid the penalty. So there's a little extra work involved. And for the 2022 tax year, tax returns are normally due April 30th. There was a 6-month extension. So there's an upcoming October 31st deadline that applies for anyone who didn't file for 2022, who might just be learning about it now.
This is a relatively recent move. What would you say about how easy it is for people to catch up? If they're listening to our conversation and they're like, whoa, hold on, I better figure this out because I don't want to suffer the penalty. Well, do you go back to the beginning as it was launched?
Yeah, you know, the 2022 was the first year this applies. Anyone who didn't file gets until October 31st. So nobody's late if they're hearing this now. One of the challenges is some accountants and accounting firms are not filing these returns. Some are worried about the penalties and some of the uncertainty and are sort of deferring to people to file on their own. But there's beyond corporations, beyond non-residents, non-citizens, there are other situations where people might get caught up in needing to file one of these returns to claim an exemption that are not maybe as obvious. And one of the categories is a trust that owns residential property. And most people think, well, I don't have a trust. I'm not a billionaire with a trust, a family trust where I need to file. But there can be situations where, for example, a parent has an adult child on title for their home for probate or estate planning purposes, but the parent really owns the home and has beneficial ownership. Or on the flip side, an adult child who puts their mom or their dad on title for mortgage approval, that could be an example of a trust that has to file an underused housing tax return to avoid a $10,000 penalty as well.
Right. What's your hypothesis as to why people would leave these homes vacant? In today's housing market, it seems ridiculous. Like, get a property manager, rent it out.
It's a good question. One of the things that I have found is that some landlords end up in situations with tenants where maybe a tenant isn't paying or they're having a problem removing a tenant. And obviously there's tenant protections in place for a reason, but some landlords find it difficult, I suppose, maybe to have a tenant. I don't know if it would be enough to forgo the rental income. Some other people, it seems like in particular, non-residents see it as an opportunity to park money in Canada. There has been some documentation of that, and that's one of the reasons this underused housing tax was put in place. But I don't know. I mean, most rental properties in Canada, you'd expect to get 3-5% per year just from the rental income.
Yeah. So let's assume people smarten up and they do decide to get these things rented. What are some of the things people should know about the taxation on rental income? Does it come through at your, marginal tax rate? If it's personal, what can you write off? Those kinds of things.
So rental income is relatively easy. There's a schedule on your tax return where you report your gross rental income received. But you can also deduct expenses like mortgage interest, property taxes, condo fees, utilities, things like that, property manager. And oftentimes a property that has a mortgage on it, especially if it's a relatively large mortgage, will have expenses that are almost as much as the income, such that there is no net rental income to pay tax on. Your expenses might wipe out the income. It's only the net amount that you pay tax on. So a lot of rental properties, there's not a significant amount of tax to pay. And that just goes with earning income of any sort. There's always tax implications.
It seems like an intractable problem these days, with the need for housing never being greater. And yet it's not an easy game to make money, to make a real return on your investment, given how expensive it is to rent money these days.
That's just it. You know, with mortgage interest costs where they are, I've seen lots of people who had variable rate mortgages and they were slightly cash flow negative on a rental property, but they were okay with it. I mean, the property was going up in value, so they didn't mind. Suddenly they're very cash flow negative. The property is not appreciating in some places, in some cases going down in value. I think there's a lot of people starting to reconsider rental properties, and you know, rental properties should not provide a huge rate of return from capital appreciation. It really should come from income. So I think people need to be cautious about counting on high appreciation to make their rental property make sense.
Very interesting stuff. Jason, thank you for joining us to talk about it today.
For sure, Bruce. Thanks for having me.
Jason Heath is a fee-only, advice-only certified financial planner. His firm is Objective Financial Partners. And we were talking about this underused housing tax, the who, what, when, where of it, and how it might actually apply to you, even if you've never heard of it before.